If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 28. As we go through the book of Acts chapter by chapter, verse by verse, God willing, we'll finish the book of Acts tonight. And as I mentioned in my prayer, the works of the Holy Spirit is the works in the book of Acts. And it continues. There is no end. The work of God continues through generations after generations. It was a theme that we talked a little bit about at the conference, pastor's conference that we just got back from just an hour ago or two. And God being Jesus is enough. He is the central theme of the church. And so often it is so many things other than Jesus. It is the great atmosphere or the great music or the eloquent speaking of the pastor. And yet Jesus is the focus of our lives as Christians. Jesus needs to be the focus in all that we do. And we see that happening in the Apostle Paul's life. Jesus is the focus. He is suffering, Paul is. Paul has gone through many days and nights in jail. He's bound in prison. He's been there for a long time. The Jews want to kill him. And they set up an ambush for him, but God protects him all along the way. As you've walked with us through the book of Acts, we see all kinds of things happening. One common denominator, God is with his people. And God is there to guide and direct and to protect. And we'll see tonight, sometimes God does things that we wouldn't have imagined why. Why would we do this? Or how come this happened to me? And when you look at your own life, why in the world did this happen? But God has a plan and a purpose. And he says this, all things work for the good of those who are in Christ, those who are called according to his purpose. So if we believe that, then we know, no matter what happens in our life, God is with us. Now, I'm not saying if you go out and rob a bank and you got the loot in your hand and the cops come and throw you in jail, that was God's plan. He may make that work out for the good because he says that, but you've caused that. But as things happen in your life, we may not understand God is fulfilling a plan and a purpose for you. And it doesn't only affect you, it affects those around you. Remember, there's a window of opportunity now that we're walking in grace, and God's calling all men to salvation. And he's asked his believers to go out and make followers of him, to go and make disciples, go make followers of Christ. So he's calculated us in his plan to save the world. That's amazing. And so Paul now, as you've been with us through the book of Acts, he's still imprisoned. And he's on his way to Rome. God promised him he would go to Rome. And we've seen that he has been shipwrecked. We've seen that he is against amazing storms that are happening as he's on this journey. He's in a commercial boat full of grain. And he has about 155 prisoners with him. Him being one of the prisoners are on board this boat. And so as the boat gets involved in this tremendous storm, this tempest that's happening, the guards want to kill all the prisoners so that they don't escape. Because if you're a Roman guard and a prisoner escapes, you're going to die. Your punishment will be the death sentence as well. And so instead of saying, hey, these guys jumped ship and they got away, we're going to kill them. And Paul was one of the prisoners. Isn't that amazing? But he had the favor of the Lord. And he was protected. The captain of the boat said, don't do it. And so they stopped in their minds to kill Paul. Now, who else benefited from that favor of God? All the other prisoners, right? All the other prisoners would have been murdered and killed by the guards. But yet this man of God, walking in the favor of the Lord in obedience, those around him were affected. How about your life? Who in your life is affected by your obedience? Well, certainly, if you're a parent, your kids would be, right? Because you're raising them up in the ways of the Lord. You're bringing them to church. But who else? Perhaps your family members that live near you or by you. Why? Because you're full of mercy and grace, and you're passing that on to them. And they're calling you with hysterical stories. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe this happened. And you would say what? Well, trust in the Lord. Be anxious of nothing. Now, I see some smiling faces because we don't always do that, but that's the plan, right? That's what we should be doing. Trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding, and all you do, acknowledge him, and he will set your path straight, right? Be anxious about nothing, but all things, prayer and petition, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of Christ, which transcends all understanding, would guide your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Now, what did I just tell you? I just quoted scripture to you. There's power in the Word of God. And so when your family is calling you and that's the counsel that you're getting, who's benefiting from that? Everyone is benefiting from that. Everyone's benefiting of that transformed life that God has done by the power of His Holy Spirit. And now you've become a witness. Now you've become a tool in His hand. You are light and salt, and now He's going to use you in tremendous ways. But it's interesting, as we see, what happens here in chapter 28. In chapter 27, they had gone out to Caesarea, Malta. Now they're at Malta, they're leaving Malta, and they're on their way to Rome. We'll pick it up in chapter 28 in the book of Acts, verses 1 through 10. Now when they had escaped, they then found out that the island was called Malta, and the natives showed us unusual kindness. For they kindled a fire and made us all welcome, because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened it on his hand. That means it bit him. It bit him on the hand. And now when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow him to live." But he shook off the creature into the fire, and he suffered no harm. However, they expecting that he would swell up and suddenly fall down and dead, but after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm came to him, they changed their minds. And they said that he was a god. In that region there was an estate of a leading citizen of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that a father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. And Paul went to him and prayed, and he laid hands on him and he healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those of the island who had disease also came and were healed. And they also honored us with many ways. And when he departed, they provided such things as were necessary. Now, I told you the story last week when we went to Vietnam to have the festival. The government shut us down, and I won't get in great detail, but there was a people on a bus. The lady was crippled. One of the people on the bus got up and gave the gospel story. She gets saved. They pray over her. She's healed. Everybody on the bus sees this. The whole bus gets healed. She goes back to her village. And the whole village gets healed or gets saved because they knew this woman was crippled for her whole life. And now she shows up speaking the name of Jesus and she's walking. What happened? What happened in her life? She's been set free by Jesus Christ. And if we could, as a church, could just have that joy in our hearts, no matter what's happening around us, Christ in me, the hope of glory, and people would see that, their lives would be changed too, right? They would see the transfer, not only if they knew you in your BC days, your before Christ days, but seeing that transformation that happened in your life. But when things are rough and tough and tumbling all around you, you have that peace. You're not shaken. Why? You're trusting in the Lord. And then when things happen in your life and you say, "Well, I prayed to the Lord and He got me through it," that's a miracle, right? And we testify about that. And we talk about that. And so here in verse 1, they found out that the island was called Malta. The real name is Melita, and it means refuge. And so this island was a refuge for them. It was a small island, 600 miles from Fair Havens. So they've traveled a while, 60 miles south of Sicily. And in the right direction, God provisions. In God's direction, He provides. God is our provider, right? And so they find this refuge on this island. The natives showed us unusual kindness. That's our God. Underline that if that's in your book. The natives, barbarians, idol worshipers, pagans, showed unusual kindness to them. How did that happen? The hand of God, right? the hand of God. When our forefathers came over to this country to be a Christian country, right? They were received by the natives that were here. And so the same thing, they had God's favor. These natives were barbarians. And anyone would speak Greek or Latin, they were enemies, right? And so the truth is, here's the truth for you to write down, God works at both ends. One end, he's saving Paul's ship and those on the ship. And on the other end, he's saving the native souls as well. He uses Paul to bring the gospel to them. Now, it just so happens that they stop at this island, right? Why? There was a storm that was brewing, and they had to go somewhere, right? It just so happens there's natives there that God once saved. It just so happens that when your car breaks down, somebody comes along and helps you and doesn't know Jesus Christ, and you witness to them. My mother's done that. There's some people in our church on Sundays who were in a car accident. Somebody rear-ended them, and they shared the gospel with those people. Now, those people were believers, and now they come to our church. Now, how did that happen? God had a plan. He had a purpose, right? We might have never thought it, never planned it. But they're in a tremendous storm where they're going to be killed in this ship, and God brings them to this island. And he brings them to an island of barbarians. And yet, they're shown unusual favor. Man, that's our God. That's what he does to us, right? When we fail and we fall and, oh, Lord, that's it, cut my head off, or, you know, that's it, I'm useless, take me out of this world, Lord, you don't want me anymore. God says, no, and he pours more grace upon you, grace upon grace, mercy upon mercy. He doesn't give us what we deserve, right? You know, it wasn't just Paul. There were probably murderers and such on that ship too. There was 155 or so other prisoners. But they benefited because of God and God's plan for them. And they benefited because Paul was the one who was going to bring and be a witness to them, bring them the gospel and be a witness. And so that's an amazing thing to consider. A viper bites Paul. It was cold because they're lighting a fire, right? Because of the cold and the weather. And so the vipers were hibernating in the wood. And so when he pulled it out, it says that it felt the heat. And so this viper comes out. Here's another truth. God allows us to suffer in his preaching and reaching the lost. God allows us to suffer in our reaching the lost and preaching to the lost for his purpose. Now let's look at how. Well, verse 4, the natives said, no doubt, this man is a murderer, yet justice does not allow him to live, right? So they're saying, yeah, he escaped this tremendous storm in the ship that they were going to get killed, and who knows if they knew that the guards were going to kill them, but they're saying God's not going to let them get away with it. Now, they're pagans. They don't believe in the same God, but they believe in justice. They're saying this man's a murderer, and he's not going to get away with it. He's going to die. A snake bit him. Murder is punishable by death. In Romans 2, verse 15, speaking to the Gentiles, show the work of the law written in their hearts and their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. Speaking in Romans, Paul's saying that God is the creator of all things, and even the created things that he has made glorifies him, and that God has put it in man's heart, even about the Trinity, so that man is without excuse not to believe. And so this is a religious group of people. They're saying, they're looking at justice, right? They're saying he must be a murderer, and yet God protects him. Here's how. Verse 5, he shook the creature off and suffered no harm. Vipers were well known to be deadly to the natives. But here's the miracle. God protects Paul. Why? So he can get their attention. So he can get their attention. Something may happen in your life. You may get the C word, oh, this person has cancer. And those around you are watching how you're responding. Or you could have a hole in your unborn child's heart, as we talked about the story that John shared with us, that he prayed and the child was born with no hole in the heart. The surgeon was right there ready to receive this unborn child to bring him right into surgery, and the baby comes out and there is no hole in the heart. How does that happen? The hand of God. God allowed those things to happen. And those who either new believers or not believers are watching your life, how do you respond to that? Is you're trusting in the Lord. And when they see that miracle, it gets their attention. And if God chooses not to heal, your response to the situation gets their attention, doesn't it? How come you're not upset about this? I'm trusting in the Lord, right? I'm fearing not, I'm trusting in the Lord. And so he uses this incident, protects Paul, which is a miracle that the viper bites him and he doesn't die, to get their attention. Mark 16, 18 says, they will take up serpents and they will drink anything deadly, and it will by no means hurt them. Now the Bible also says that the Lord did unusual miracles by the hand of Paul. So what he's not telling us to do is go pick up serpents and drink poisons. Now we may laugh at that, but in the central United States and the southern states, there's churches that run around quoting that verse, and they have serpents. And a pastor just died recently. He was bitten by a I don't know what kind of snake it was, but he was bitten. A poisonous snake bit him. He went home. He refused. The paramedics came to the house. He refused any treatment, and he died. This has been going in the Appalachian area. This is where this is happening. And they're quoting this verse. But they're taking upon something that God perhaps has not given them, right? Because the Bible says that God did unusual miracles by the hand of Paul. And so there were those who wanted to copy what Paul did, right? They wanted to cast out demons in the name of Jesus, but God didn't give them the power to do that. And you know the story, they lay hands on the and cast out the demons, and the demons speak to them. Paul, we know, and Jesus, we know, but who are you? And so there's a lot in Scripture that they fall out of context. This is not telling us to go do this. It's saying, but they did this. Now, I'm not saying there's not gifts and healing and all that. There is. But we don't grab something out of Scripture now and run with a doctrine. Now that I've told you that, you can go on YouTube and look up, you know, snake handling preachers, and there's going to be a ton of videos, and they're running up and down the aisles with snakes and their tambourines and calling this to be holy. But it's generational. This is passed down because this pastor who died, his son's saying he's going to do the same thing. And so they're taking it out of context. And so that's not a whole sermon that we're talking about now. But we're seeing God's hand in this. We're seeing God's purpose in this. And sometimes things happen in our lives that we didn't expect, we didn't plan on, we might not even like. And yet God is greater than what we can see and do, right? And not only that, but that we can even imagine. And so God uses these things that happen to draw the attention of these natives. Now, after they had looked a long time, they changed their minds and said that he was a god, a small g. Indicates they are religious, they're pagan, remember, barbarians. But perhaps it reminds us of in Acts chapter 14 in Lystra, Paul had healed this cripple, and everybody saw this, and everybody said, wow. Now, there are a lot of people that want to grab a hold of miracles, signs, and wonders, and this is God, look what he's doing. And yet these miracles, signs, and wonders are to prove that God is real. Now, he says to those who are sick in the church, come before the elders of the church and let them lay hands on you and anoint you with oil, and by faith you will be healed. He's not saying go to a faith healer selling his books in a football field and looking to get money and promoting his healing ministry. That's not what he's saying. And so that's taken out of context too. But after they watched Paul, they changed their minds. Now, when I got saved, you know, I went back to work. They didn't have a big party for me because I got saved. You know, the police department didn't have balloons and all this. You know, Ken's saved now. That's not what happened. Actually, just the opposite happened. Ridicule, right? And persecution happened. But the person who brought me to church had walked away that very night. I was invited to come to the church. We went to Calvary Chapel, Fort Lauderdale. I heard the gospel preached. I come from a Catholic faith. I believed in Jesus, but he wasn't my Lord and my Savior, I was. And so after about a couple, I think it was three months, listening to the word, there was an altar call, and it was a Wednesday night, and I was the first one up there crying like a baby, because I know that I was messed up, and I know that I was healed. He took this world of sin off my shoulders, and my life was transformed and changed. Anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit, began witnessing. However, the person that brought me there turned away that very night, says, I want nothing to do with this. As a matter of fact, some of you know or may not know, but Pastor Bob Coy had hair back to the middle of his back, longer than all the women in this room. His hair was long. And so he was a hippie. My brother was really turned off with the whole scene. But we know why, because he didn't want to surrender his life to the Lord. So he turned and walked away and said, I make my own decisions in life. I really don't need this thing. So that person that brought me to that church was my younger brother. Somebody had invited him, and he asked me to go with him because he didn't want to go by himself. Now, I had no idea at the time why I said yes, but I know now God was drawing me in, reeling me in, right? And so I get saved. So now it's like 2 years later, he's getting married, and he's going to have a bachelor party. Now, everybody knows what happens at bachelor parties. And so I said, I'm not going because God has taken me away from all of that. Now, I was the king of bachelor parties during that young part of my life. And I said no, and all these phone calls were coming in. What do you mean you're not going? Like, if you wanted to have a bachelor party, you'd call me. I'd have the contacts to set it up. Okay? And God had set me free of that. He broke that chain of bondage, and I didn't have to go there anymore. So I wasn't going to my brother's bachelor party. And my older brother's calling me, his friends are calling me, and I did not go by the power of the Holy Spirit, because the flesh certainly wanted to go, but the Lord gave me the strength to say no, and I had no regrets about it, so I didn't go. Now, fast forward, about 6 months, maybe a year later, my brother gets saved. And his wife gets saved. So after I got saved, my wife got saved, my mother-in-law got saved, my sister got saved, there was a snowball effect of the people around me. Why? Because we were influencing them, right? They were watching our lives. They saw the transformation. And here's what my younger brother told me. He said these words, "It was never anything that you said, but it was what I saw you do. And there's no way you would have not come to my bachelor party, right? If God hadn't done something in your heart." And that's what happened. So people are watching. People are looking at your life. No matter what it is, you could think it's so inconsequential. Oh, big deal, I didn't go to the party. But that was the thing that changed my brother's heart. What he saw. Nothing I said, ever, that I said to him captured his heart. But as what he saw, he said, wow, man, if you're not doing this anymore, something happened to you, right? If you're not hanging around in these places anymore and doing the things that you did, something had to happen to you. Now, he knew what it was. And so people are looking at our lives. These natives see this man eaten or bitten by a snake. They've probably seen hundreds of people bitten by snakes and die. And this foreigner comes and nothing happens to him. And it says that their minds were changed. They've been transformed by the way they're thinking, by the renewing of their minds, right? Basically, based upon what they saw. God is using a bad situation, you would think, by getting bit by a snake, for an eternal situation, right? Saving people's lives. And so here's another truth for you. The miracle healing is the work of the Holy Spirit. The work is the gift of the Holy Spirit is to testify of Jesus Christ. The gift of the Holy Spirit speaks about Jesus Christ. And so you'll know if a minister is preaching the truth, Jesus needs to be central, not only in his church, but in his life. Right? And the same for you. We say we're Christians, Jesus needs to be the center focus of our life. Because here's what happens if Jesus is the center focus of our life. The Holy Spirit is in us, and we're testifying of Jesus Christ. His saving grace, how he has transformed and changed each one of our lives as we have walked with him. Now, here's what happens sometimes. You'll be around these people. want to tell you these stories of, oh, I was so bad. I did this every night. I did that every night. And that'll be their testimony and give you about 2 minutes. Then I got saved, and that's all you hear. Don't be one of those witnesses. Yeah, my life was messed up, just like yours. But look what God did. Talk about the great, mighty power of Christ. Talk about the saving grace and all the times that He gave you mercy upon mercy, the times that you have failed, the times, even as a believer, you have sinned against God. And yet He says, I love you, and I will never let you go. You know, my sons, I have two sons. They'll always be my sons. No matter what they do, they'll always be my sons. No one cannot make them my sons, right? Ever. They're my sons forever. That's what God does to us. And even though we may mess up sometimes, He may send somebody along on our path to encourage us, to lift us up, if we're not a believer, to see the power of God in their life. So when there was an estate of this leading citizen, who's a magistrate, a Roman governor, and he shows hospitality to them for 3 days.